Good morning, good morning. It's time to talk about our favorite cast albums with you. Good morning, good morning. Revival soundtracks to good morning, good morning to you.
Hello, and welcome to a mini episode of Good Morning Cast Recording. My name is Becca. I will be your host today and every day that we do this podcast. And if you just heard that jingle, my cat has decided to join us. So hello, Stella. She is apparently our guest for this mini episode. If you listened to the first mini episode where I talked about Talk Everlasting, you probably heard me say that this episode, which is the second half of that episode, was going to come out on that Thursday. Now, let me explain to you the reasons why that did not happen, which are twofold. The first being, I realized, hey, why don't I just save this mini episode for the week in between full episodes? Because, as I mentioned on the original recording of this episode, full episodes will be releasing every other week. So two a month, and then hopefully two mini episodes a month. Now I'll get to that second reason, which is that I went to edit the second half of that mini episode, and lo and behold, all of my recording had disappeared. So luckily, your girl thinks ahead, and I did have notes for myself from when I recorded that mini episode originally. So we're doing a fresh take. We're rocking and rolling and living that second week of the semester lifestyle. So if you did not join us for the first half of this mini episode, which released, I guess, 2 weeks ago at this point, I was talking about some of my favorite cast albums that I probably won't get the chance to talk about on the podcast for a little while. Excuse me, my cat has discovered a shopping bag, and I need to make sure that she is being safe. Last time we talked about Talk Everlasting, which is a Miller and Tyson show based on the Natalie Babbitt novel. I believe it came out in the 2016 season. 2015-2016 season, but it opened and closed pretty quickly in spring of that year. All that to say, that was the first one we talked about, and I have two other shows to talk about today. Gosh, I'm rambling. It's been a long week, you guys. How's everybody doing? Let's check in. Anyway, let's just get into it.
New York, New York, New York, New York! It's a hell of a town! We've got one day here and not another minute to see the famous sight.
We'll find the romance and danger waiting in it beneath the Broadway lights.
But we pair on our chests, so what we like the best are the nights.
Sightlights,
nights, New York, New York, a hell of a town. The Bronx is up, but the battery's down. The people ride in a hole in the ground. New York, New York!
So, like a lot of musical theater enthusiasts, I like to think that I instinctively prefer the original recording of a production to revival recordings. I find that nowadays, when I listen to revival recordings, a lot of times they can sound too polished or too new and shiny, and you lose a lot of the character that is inherent to those original recordings. I would also have to ignore that the other musical that I have on this list for today is also a revival, but we'll get to that later. However, this production of On the Town, which was revived in 2014, I believe, it made a huge impact on me as like a little baby college theater nerd. I can't remember if I actually pre-ordered this recording, but I know for a fact I got it almost as soon as it came out, if not on the day. I remember waiting with bated breath for this album to come out because I had seen the Broadway.com press day rehearsal footage of New York, New York, and I Can Cook Too, and all these wonderful songs that we're gonna get to. I could get into a lot of backstory about my relationship with specifically this production and album, but what it comes down to, honestly, is just that it's a really good recording. The cast is phenomenal. The orchestrations are absolutely gorgeous. And also, if you didn't know or you weren't familiar with the show, On the Town contains some sexual politics that are, like, shockingly progressive for a show that was written in the 1940s. Like, it's a major plot point in this show that women are freely expressing their sexuality and enjoying it, which I find incredibly refreshing.
Some girls make magazine covers. Some girls keep house on a dime. Some girls make wonderful lovers. But what a lucky find I'm. I'd make a magazine cover. I do keep house on a dime. I'd make a wonderful lover. I should be paid overtime.
Okay, so like I did in the last episode, I'm just going to do a quick rundown of some of my favorite tracks in the show. This list is absolutely by no means exhausted because I love this album so much, but I'm going to try my best. So obviously the first track is going to be the one that you just heard and which I mentioned like 2 seconds ago, which is I Can Cook Too and It's Reprise, because I kind of just consider them the same song. I heard it for the first time when I saw the rehearsal footage from Broadway.com in which they performed both, so they really exist as a unit together in my mind. Alicia Umfriss, who plays Hildy, who sings this number, is absolutely inspired. Her casting and her portrayal ultimately changed the way that I interact with theater in ways that I can't do justice to here, because I need to discuss it in a much more fleshed out way. But, you know, I've seen several different renditions of this song, heard several renditions of this song, and I just really appreciate the way that Alicia interprets it. It's a comedy song, but the way that she performs it, it's also, you know, pretty sexy. And especially as a bigger girl, it really changed me to see a plus-size woman up on a stage in a Golden Age musical being sexy and it not being a punchline. So like I said, that aspect of it deserves a much deeper discussion than what I'm able to do right here, but I couldn't not express it because it made such an impact on me.
I'm simply thunderstruck at the change in my luck. Knew at once I wanted you. Never dreamed you'd want me to. I'm so proud you chose me from all the crowd. There's no other guy I'd rather be. I could laugh out loud. I'm so lucky to be me.
So Tony Yazbek, who plays Gaby in the show, is kind of beyond words for me. In my estimation, he is Gene Kelly reincarnate. His voice is like the smoothest, and it's so soothing. And like every line he speaks or sings is charged with emotion. For a character like Gaby, who exudes this sort of idealism and hopeless romanticism, Yazbek captures that energy perfectly. His two big songs, in Act One, really exemplify that aspect of his performance. So first you've got Lonely Town, which is kind of just everything you want out of a somewhat melancholy but hopeful Leonard Bernstein ballad, and Yazbek's voice is just incredible. It just soars on that song. Then on the flip side of that, you've got Lucky to Be Me, which is a more upbeat number, but also bursts with, you know, that classic exuberant musical theater puppy love. And I feel like all of the descriptions I just gave are super cheesy and don't do the songs justice, but those two tracks are some of the heaviest in my rotation. Beyond those numbers, I think that one of the ways in which this production really, really shines is in the way that it uses its ensemble. So if you're unfamiliar with On the Town, the main characters are basically paired up. So you've got three pairs of characters, three men, three women, and I think there's probably no better showcase in the show for that ensemble, I guess minus Ivy Smith because she's kind of her own thing. But it's got to be You Got Me in Act 2 and its reprise. All of these songs have fun little tags and I love them so much. And oh my God, also the same group sings Some Other Time, which is right at the tail end of Act 2, which absolutely rips my heart out every time. And anytime I am leaving somewhere with friends or loved ones that I'm not going to see for a while, I listen to this song and I sob. Also, I'll kind of gloss over them here, but as someone who previous to this album would kind of skip over instrumental tracks, there's a lot of really, really beautiful instrumental storytelling on this album. This is a very dance-heavy show, so obviously a lot of the tracks on the cast album are going to be instrumental because they are ballets. A lot of the second act actually is, you know, a series of ballets. When this album came out, I was actually about to go on a pretty long road trip from North Carolina, where I was in school at the time, down to Florida, where I'm from. And that's a 10-hour drive, give or take. And I listened to this all the way through several times. And it's amazing how the Leonard Bernstein score tells a story without those Comden and Green lyrics. You really feel the motion of the story, and you also can kind of visualize the dancers and everything that's going on. I hope that made any sense. I am not a dancer. I am firmly in the actor who moves category, so I can't really speak to all of that, but I just know that I enjoy it quite a bit. So if you are like me and you were not super familiar with any Bernstein shows other than like West Side Story or Candide, or even if you're familiar with the On the Town film that came out and not the stage production, the one Gene Kelly's in it, and I believe Frank Sinatra's in it as well. I've only seen it once or twice. I would strongly encourage you to check this album out. The movie and the show are very, very different. And I think they both have their merits, but I think it's very much worth checking out the show. I think they focus on some different themes. I think that the musical is, like I said, very progressive for the time, and that comes out a little bit more in the stage material than in the film. I would also encourage you to watch some of the publicity clips from this show, especially the rehearsal footage that you'll find on like Playbill or Broadway.com, or maybe even Theatermania was in on the game at that point. Because honestly, this, like I said, is a dance show and the choreography is to die for. Go watch the Miss Turnstiles ballet. It changed my life.
Everybody's got the right to be different.
If you wanna be different.
Even though at times they go to extremes.
Go to extremes.
Anybody can prevail.
Everybody's free to fail.
No one can be put in jail for their dreams.
All right, so this next show, I'm going to be upfront. I cannot rank my favorite musicals. If you ask me to, I will say no, and I will be, you know, a little bit offended that you asked, because you should know that that's impossible for me. There are just way too many musicals, and I love them all for equally different, unique reasons. But Stephen Sondheim's Assassins is, without a doubt, hands down, my absolute favorite musical. I don't even know if I could pinpoint a particular reason why. I mean, I love Sondheim, but even by that standard, this show isn't in most people's, you know, top five lists of his works. So, for the uninitiated, Assassins is a concept musical with a score by Stephen Sondheim that depicts successful and attempted American presidential assassins and sort of explores the methods to their madness. I find it really difficult to explain exactly what Assassins is. It's not a linear show, first of all. It's honestly more of a series of vignettes, this motley crew of notorious individuals telling each other why they wanted to kill the president. And it's all in the context of this sort of otherworldly shoot-to-win carnival setting that, I don't know, I guess maybe it's the afterlife. I don't know. But one of the reasons that I find it difficult to describe Assassins is that just from the face value of what it is, it sounds a little bit like it might be trying to justify what these people did or absolve them of their crimes, which it absolutely does not do. It actually, I think, does a really great job of showing the audience, you know, the consequences of what they did and why it was awful, and that while these people had their reasons, and they are reasons that are relatable to a lot of people even today, it wasn't right to act on them in the way that they did. So Assassins had been on my radar for a while, since I think I first heard of it when one of my classmates in high school used Unworthy of Your Love as like an audition piece. Wow, that was like a decade ago. Wow, oh wow, we're not going to think about that. But for some serendipitous reason, this recording fell into my lap just a few months before the 2016 presidential election. And as I listened to that recording, I didn't just hear the voices of Leon Czolgosz, the steel mill employee, you know, disillusioned with capitalism and all of its trials, who shot William McKinley in protest, or John Wilkes Booth. I heard the voices of my neighbors. I heard the voices of the people that I encountered every day in the very red state that I lived in. And it was terrifying. But it's hard to unpack all of that. And I don't know that I could even put into words exactly what Assassins did for me during that time. I don't know that it helped me cope. I think it might have scared me more, but it certainly gave me a frame of reference. And it made me even more passionate about seeing right done. I don't think I can get it. I think there's a lot more in that that I could get into, and that got very serious very quickly, as things do whenever I talk about Assassins. But let's get on to the songs.
Charlie said, "Hell, if I am guilty, then God is as well. But God was acquitted, and Charlie committed until he should hang. Still he sang.
Look on the bright side, not on the black side. Get off your backside, shine those shoes. This is your golden opportunity. You are the lightning and your news. Wait till you see tomorrow. Tomorrow you won't be ignored. You could be pardoned, you could be president. Look on the right side."
So, first off, this is a revival recording. However, it is still the original Broadway cast album. The original production was off-Broadway. And this recording sets itself apart from the original for me for what might be a pretty shallow reason, which is that, honestly, I just prefer this cast and their interpretations of the characters. So the biggest example for me is probably Dennis O'Hare, who plays Charles Guiteau, the assassin. Wow, the show is called Assassin's Girl. The assassin of President Garfield. There's this really beautiful, seems like a weird word to describe it, but there's this beautiful unhingedness in O'Hare's performance that you can get just from the vocals on this recording, but it's also more layered than basic insanity. You pity him, but you also feel frightened of the passion and the fury that lives within that character when it shows itself. And O'Hare just so expertly knows when to peel back those layers and show you what's underneath. Aside from Dennis O'Hare, I mean, you've got Neil Patrick Harris, of course, as the balladeer. Fun fact, my ultimate dream role that I will literally never play. But you've also got ugh, absolute favorites of mine, Mark Kudisch and Michael Cerveris, who also won a Tony Award for his performance as Booth in this production. So for me, standout songs are definitely Everybody's Got the Right, which is the opening number. You heard that as I was leading into starting to talk about Assassins, and The Ballad of Gateau, which you've just heard a snippet of. In addition to those, The Ballad of Booth, The Ballad of Czolgosz, the ballads, the balladeers' numbers in this show are unparalleled. Sondheim purposefully for the balladeers' numbers, or the at least the ballads of Booth, Gateau, and Czolgosz, chose musical styles that fit the period. So for Gateau, you've got a cakewalk, things like that. I think those songs are just constructed really well, and I think that Neil Patrick Harris delivers them really nicely. So beyond those, I think two of, honestly, the most haunting songs are going to be Another National Anthem and The Gun Song. All of the songs mentioned, plus, you know, a whole bunch of other ones in the score, highlight those similarities between the rhetoric of, you know, some of our nation's most notorious figures, people who killed or attempted to kill the president, and that of, like I said, our own neighbors, which I encountered during that election cycle. And if you listen to the cast recording, I think you'll pretty easily hear what I'm talking about. This production's recording also includes the song Something Just Broke, which was added after the original off-Broadway production, and some people argue that it kind of breaks up the flow of the show in a weird way, which I don't totally disagree with, but I do think it provides a really interesting shift in perspective to how these crimes ultimately affected and potentially still would affect the American people.
Something just broke.
I was down at the exchange.
Something just made a little dent. I'd been shopping.
I'd been sick.
Something just broke.
All I know it was a Friday.
Only for a moment.
I remember exactly.
Something got bent.
I'm taking the order.
Something just left a little mark.
I was getting dressed.
Potato soup.
Something just went a little dark. Something just went.
And I wondered.
I was scared of what
would follow.
Something to be mended.
Made me wonder who we are.
Something will have to weather.
He was seeing all those
bringing
torches.
Us all together.
He was me.
He was
if
us.
Only for a moment.
I'll remember it forever.
The world has really ended.
Where I was,
what I was doing.
Only just been suspended.
And that is the mini episode. Before I go, I thought maybe it would be fun for these episodes, as we close out, for me to share a few of the cast recordings that I've been listening to a lot lately. So, first one that I've been listening to a whole bunch is Six. It's a big thing right now. We all love it. There might also be another reason for that. So keep your ears out. You might be hearing a little more of that on the podcast. The other album I've been listening to a ton is the 1998 revival recording of Cabaret. So that is the Alan Cumming production. I am, fun fact, feel like this has been chock full of fun facts. I am the graduate assistant dramaturg in my department, and that includes creating study guides for our main stage productions, the first of which is Cabaret, and we are doing the 1998 version. So I've been really enjoying listening to that recording as I do my work and getting into that vibe, and Cabaret is such a well-constructed show. I was going to say timely. It feels both timely and timeless, and I think it makes me kind of sad that it's so timeless, because it means that those themes of complacency and willful ignorance of atrocities being committed are still pervasive, but it is just such a masterful work. And if you haven't given that particular recording a listen in a while, please do. Alan Cumming is incredible. We all know this. On that album, I've been particularly enjoying Maybe This Time. I've been really enjoying Money, and then Veal Come In is always a bop. So Is that what the kids... Do the kids still call them bops? I don't know. Anyway, I've rambled quite enough. Like I said earlier in the episode, you can expect to see full episodes every other week. And in those in-between weeks, I'm going to work really hard to get mini episodes out to you. They're a little bit easier to finagle since I don't have to coordinate with a guest. And there's, you know, a little bit less research has to go into it. So if you would like updates on the podcast, you can watch the podcast Twitter at GMCRpodcast. I don't update it as much as I should. I'm really trying to get better about that. But you can also find me personally on Twitter at Rebby Leap. Good Morning Cast Recording can also be found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and more. Thanks for joining me today. I'll talk to you next week. Bye.